Well, amen. Open your Bibles tonight, if you will, to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 16. 1 Samuel, chapter number 16. We do always enjoy our time the week of the May Fellowship, spending time with good friends that we've known for many years. And always, even though they give me a hard time, it's always fun to be around Brother Eric and his family. And it's always good to be around my best friend in the entire world. A lady who shines like a light. The glory of God just shines all over this young lady. My best friend, Donya. Did I say it right? Right before I get up here, she turns. Tell them how much you like me and what a good person I am and what we're best friends and all of that. I know I've said this many times before, but there may be some new people here. Me and Brother Eric went to Bible college together. We rode to school together on I think two days a week or something like that, so we've known each other a while. Brother Michael is my cousin. I've known him all his life. Miss Donya was in my Sunday school class when she came to church on the bus. And I taught the juniors, and she was in my Sunday school class. And her hair was like this. I mean, she permed her hair. How old were you? Like 9? I mean, decked out every Sunday. My best friend. Amen. I have to say nice things about Miss Donya because her mom's here. Amen. We've known Miss Faye for many years, but always good to be here. Amen. We're looking forward to what God has for us tonight. 1 Samuel chapter number 16. Let's jump right into it real quickly tonight. You know, one of the most well-known, I guess, Bible stories. If you were to ask kids, what's your favorite Bible story? You know, if we were to rank them, our favorite children, sometimes we kind of label them children's Bible stories, but the truth of the matter is they're for us all. Amen. But if you were to think about the Bible stories that are at the top when you think Bible stories, you know, you would probably think about Noah and the ark. You would probably think about Jonah and the whale. But probably number one on the list would be David and Goliath. Boy, what a great, great account of the story of David and Goliath. There is so much in the account of David and Goliath. You know what? It's not just a neat story. It's a wonderful passage of Scripture that gives us so much Bible truth that we can apply to our life. We could look into so many things. But boy, you talk about a great account of David and the sling and the giant and all of those things. And what a wonderful, wonderful illustration for us, number one, of Calvary and what the Lord did for us on the cross of Calvary. But also just some practical things to remind us that we are not victims, we're victors. Amen. And I was thinking about David and Goliath, and perhaps one of the most known stories in all of the Word of God. But you know what? Can I just say this tonight? David and Goliath, the account of David and Goliath takes place in chapter number 17 of 1 Samuel. But you know what comes before chapter 17? Chapter 16. You know what comes before the story of David and Goliath? Some things that took place in chapter number 16. I would submit to you this evening that there never would have been a David and Goliath. There never would have been a chapter 17 for us to glean from and walk in and rejoice in had there not been a chapter 16. You know, we like the exciting things. Boy, we like the David and Goliath and the victory and all of those things in our life. But you know what? If there's not a chapter number 16, there's not a chapter number 17. Now, I want to draw your attention to a couple of things here in chapter number 16. And I want you to just very simply look with me at a couple of thoughts here. Verse number 11 says this, "And Samuel said unto Jesse, Are here all thy children? And he said, There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, Notice this next phrase, He keepeth the sheep. Draw your attention, if you will, to verse number 19. Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, Send me David thy son, what's this next phrase, which is with the sheep. We know the story of David. We know how God had rejected Saul from being king. And God spoke to Samuel concerning the fact that the next king would be one of the sons of Jesse. And He sent Samuel down to Bethlehem there. And you know the story, how Jesse's sons paraded before Samuel. And they all came through, and God continued to tell Samuel, this is not the one, this is not the one, this is not the one. Finally, the last one, as far as he knew, came through. God said, this is not the one. And Samuel said, have all your sons come through here? Something's not right here. Have all your sons passed through? And he said, well, there's one more. He's the youngest, and he's keeping the sheep. Almost as if there's really no point in bringing him in. He's just the youngest, and he's simply a shepherd boy. He keepeth the sheep. I was thinking about this thought. As God had a purpose and a plan, God was preparing a king. You know, I began to think about all the things that God used to prepare David for the task that he had in his life. We know all about David and Goliath. But I want to preach tonight for just a few minutes on David and the sheep. Let's pray together. Father, we love You. We do thank You for the Word that You've given us and the opportunity we have tonight to study it together. I thank You for this church, for this pastor and his family. And Lord, I do pray that You would continue to bless them in a great and mighty way. Lord, that they would be strengthened and to know that Your hand is upon them. Lord, I thank You so much for the friendship that we have. I thank You for the opportunity tonight to preach. And Lord, I pray that You would indeed bless the reading and the preaching of Your Word tonight. Give me clarity of thought as we preach. Give me recall of those things that You've impressed upon my heart tonight. And Lord, I pray that You would help me with those things that You'd have said. And Lord, if there's anything that You'd not have said, I pray that You would take it from me tonight and put it at stake. Lord, just simply want to be a vessel in Your hand tonight. And I pray that that everything said and done here tonight would bring honor and glory to Your precious name. We do love You tonight. Pray for Your guidance and direction. In Jesus' name, amen. Go, if you will, to chapter number 17 now. We're going to look into chapter 17. And we're going to see some things that took place in the familiar account of David and Goliath. But I believe we're going to be able to draw back from chapter number 16 and see some parallels. How God had prepared David for what he was about to face here in chapter number 17. The truth of the matter is, child of God, if you haven't yet faced a giant, you're probably going to face one tomorrow or the next day or the day after. The truth of the matter is, we all go through things in our life when we have to face some things that are just bigger than we are. But you know what? A giant might be real big in comparison to us, but a giant's real small in comparison to my God. Amen? But God used David in a great and mighty way. He had a plan and he had a purpose for his life. And I want you to notice a couple of things. I would draw your attention tonight as David has made his way to the battleground. The Philistines are gathered on the hillside on one side, and the Israelites are gathered on the other side. We know the story. Goliath has paraded himself down into the valley, threatening the armies of God, threatening the people of God, defying God Himself. And you would think that somebody would have stepped out. There was Saul on that hillside. There was David's brothers on that hillside. There Jonathan was on that hillside. But nobody stepped forward. while all this is going on, David's father called for David to come to take some food and some supplies and to get some information concerning the battle down. And we know the story. David makes his way down and he begins to see what's taking place. Goliath comes out and he begins to run his mouth a little bit, you know. David looks around and he says, "Well, somebody needs to go out there and whoop that old boy." And nobody budged. David said, "Well, look here, if you're not going to go, I'll step out there and I'll stand against him in the power of God." He got all kind of criticism over the deal. His brother, Saul said, "Well, I like what Saul does." Saul says, "Well, here, if you're going to go down there, here, put on my armor. You take my armor." In other words, "Well, I'm not going to go out there and stand in the battle, but I'm going to tell you how to do it." Hello? You ever been there? And so David steps out, and that's exactly what he does. Notice with me in verse number 40, and this is where we're going to pull a lot of it from here tonight. David now is stepping out into the battle. He has rejected the armor of Saul. He said, "I've not yet proved it." And so he steps out in the power of God. And I want you to notice a couple of things tonight. I want you to notice what David has in his hands as he steps out into this valley to stand against Goliath. Notice in verse number 40 of chapter 17, "And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine." I want you to notice a couple of phrases. Look at verse number 40 there. About two-thirds of the way into that verse, you see this phrase, "which he had." David stepped out on this day, and he had in his hand that which he had. You say, "That, what is that supposed to mean?" I would say this evening, God is preparing us and He is equipping us for what He has in store for us. Notice what David had. The Bible says, "which he had." Notice what he had in his hand. Number one, David had a staff and a scrip. A staff, the Bible says, "and he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag which he had, even a scrip." He had a man purse. A scrip. That was a pouch that he would have, that he would wear, that he would put supplies in. Maybe a snack, a granola bar, something like that, you know. David was a shepherd. And the Bible says that he had a staff and a scrip. A staff and a scrip. You say, what is that all about? Notice this. David faced Goliath with, number one, a staff and a shepherd's bag. He had that in his hand. Why did he have that in his hand? Because he was a shepherd. You say, I don't follow what you're talking about. Understand this tonight. David faced Goliath on a day when he didn't expect to stand before a giant. We read the text a while ago. Where was he? Keeping the sheep. When his father called for him to go down to the battle scene, where had he been? In the field. Keeping the sheep. Why? David was a shepherd. And as a shepherd, you know what he had? A staff. With that staff, he would go through the day on an ordinary day. Maybe the sheep would get out of line a little bit and he'd use the staff to straighten them up. Maybe one would get in trouble and he would use that staff, the hook on the end of it, the crook, to rescue them. He would use that staff maybe to get around through the rough terrain as he was taking maybe the flock from one field to the other. He used the staff every day of his life as a shepherd. And you know, I imagine David got to the point, watch this, I imagine David got to the point where he thought, you know what, this staff, I'm getting tired of just being a shepherd and holding this staff and carrying this staff around. What I'm saying this evening is this. David used this staff on every ordinary day of his life. And as time went on, he probably got to the point to where he probably began to take that staff and those ordinary days for granted. Might have even got to the point in his life where he might have even began to despise the ordinary days. You know, David was a young man. He probably was keeping the sheep, but somewhere maybe deep down inside he was thinking, boy, I sure would have liked to have gone off to battle with my brothers. But somebody's got to keep the sheep. You say, what's that have to do with me tonight? Let me say, number one, don't despise the ordinary days. Don't take for granted the ordinary days in your life. You see, God wants to use those ordinary days to prepare us for what we're going to face and to accomplish that which He wants us to accomplish. Ordinary, everyday devotions. Did you do your devotion today? Yeah. But my, how God can use the ordinary days. Day in, day out, day in, day out. The ordinary days. Every day, ordinary. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Sunday school, Wednesday night. Same old preaching, same old teaching, same old singing. But God's using those ordinary days to put something in your heart, to put something in your life, to equip you for when you're going to face a giant. David said, hey, it's just another ordinary day out here in the fields of Bethlehem. I've got a staff in my hand and I'm just taking it for granted. But I tell you what, when he stepped out on that battle scene and there was a big old giant standing before him, I guarantee you he thought, you know what, I've got a staff in my hand and I know how to use it. Why? Because I'd used it every ordinary day. Ordinary relationships. Ordinary conversations, ordinary prayer meetings, ordinary school days, work days, evenings with the family, youth outings, on and on and on and on. And we kind of sometimes get bogged down to where we're going through the motions. But you know what? That sometimes is a good thing, because when you're going through the motions, you're putting those good, I hate to use this term sometimes, but habits in your life that God is going to one day use when you face a giant. What did David have in chapter number 17 that helped him to stand against Goliath? He had the same staff in his hand that he had in chapter number 16. There'd never been a chapter 17 had there not been chapter 16. I noticed something else that he has in his hand. We know about this one, but this is where it really gets exciting. Notice not only did he have a staff in his hand, but watch this, the Bible says, and his sling was in his hand. Now we know about the sling. With that sling, the Bible tells us that David went down to the brook and he chose him out 5 smooth stones. And I know there's all been all kind of speculation as to why he took out 5 stones and all of those kind of things. Brother Eric, how do you preach that one? Yeah, you get, well, he had brothers, 5 is the number of grace, and all of those things work. I submit that he chose 5 just in case he missed with the first one. He had 4 more tries. You know, I don't know. But he took those stones and he put them in that script. And he took that sling. You know what he did with it. Here comes Goliath again and he was running his mouth. David just basically said, bring it on. David was not, understand this, trusting in himself. He was trusting in God. But at the same time, God used him. You know, we trust God, but God uses us. And what an honor, what a privilege. And David took one of those stones and he put it in that sling. And I imagine the whole time as Goliath is steady, just popping his chops, David's thinking, just get a little bit closer. He's dialed in, man. He's dialed in. He's waiting on him to get in range. And Goliath just keeps on stepping. Keeps on stepping. David just kind of starts doing this. And about the time he takes that step, that David has him locked in on radar, buddy. And he hits him. And we know the story. Can I say to you tonight, it's not the first time David ever used a sling. You know when David had used a sling before? When he was with his sheep. He even says that, you know, one day there came out a lion and one day there came out a bear. With the help of God, I slew them. I can picture David as a real young man out there in the fields of Bethlehem, and the sheep are out in the pasture. Everything's going okay. Things are getting a little bit boring for him maybe. And he's practicing with that sling. Probably hitting himself in the arm and in the head and all those things. He sets him up a target and he's missing it and it's going on. But as the days go by, he gets a little bit better, a little bit better, a little bit better. And then one day he hears the cry of the sheep. And he peeks the top of the hill and he finds that a lion is attacking one of his sheep. And just by mere instinct, he grabs a stone, he grabs his sling, and he slays the lion on another day. And these, by the way, are not ordinary days. The ordinary days are just nothing really out of the ordinary happening. These become the difficult days when there's an attack from a lion. When there's the attack from the bear. You see, David faced lions and he faced bears in his day. Why? Because God knew one day he was going to have to face a giant. David, kind of like the football team, said, I'm not really worried about the giants. We've already beat the lions and the bears. Hello? Difficult days. He not only experienced ordinary days, but he faced some difficult days. And I imagine David also began to sometimes despise the difficult days. When he began to hear that cry of the sheep, he probably said, "Oh no, not again, not another lion. I don't want to have to face a lion again. I don't want to have to face another bear. These, it's difficult." But God used the difficult days to prepare David. And I would submit tonight that from time to time we face difficult days. Sometimes we face the lion and the bears of a bad report from a doctor. Sometimes we face the lions and the bears when we look into our checkbook register. We check the calendar and we realize that there's more month than there is money. Sometimes we face the lions and the bears of just problems. Cars breaking down, just hypothetically speaking. Heard somebody having a vehicle. This has been the month of vehicle terror for my family. We've got them broke down from Tennessee to Alabama. Sometimes you face difficult days. Sometimes just the stresses of life on the job, raising kids, dealing with disappointments. Difficult days. But you know what? God uses difficult days because He's got a plan and He's got a purpose for our life. David stepped out there and he faced Goliath and he had a staff and he had a sling. Now when he was in the field keeping the sheep, he probably never realized how God was going to use those things to prepare him for what he had coming. David didn't even know Goliath existed when he was in the fields of Bethlehem. But God did. One more and I'm through. I want you to go back to chapter 16, right at the end. There's another thing that took place in David's life just prior to his facing Goliath. It's found in chapter 16. Verse number 19, we read a few moments ago. The Bible says that Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, "Send me David thy son, which is with the sheep." You remember Saul had become troubled. And they sent for someone who could play soothing music for Saul when he was troubled. And they sent for David. Notice verse 23, "And it came to pass when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him." Now this is not necessarily when David faced Goliath, but stay with me. Because you see, David would do far more in his life than just slay a giant. David would write some of the most beautiful songs ever known to man. The Psalms. Wow. And David was summoned by Saul to come and play his harp. And David, I imagine, as the days went by, would continue to play his harp and as he wrote the Psalms under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. Psalms that we draw strength and encouragement and comfort from even today. I began to think about David as a little shepherd boy. More than likely, David probably sat out there on the hillsides of Bethlehem. Probably under a starry sky, maybe in the same area where the angels announced the birth of Christ. And David just began to learn. David began to learn to play. And God would use that in his life in a great and mighty way. When would he do that? Watch this. On the lonely days. Late at night. He's out there and his brothers and his daddy's all back in the house. And he's out there on that Judean hillside. And it's late at night and he's all alone and the sheep are resting. Maybe they get a little bit restless. You know, it's kind of like a mother when the baby's asleep and then the baby begins to kind of stir a little bit. Mother will take that baby and pat it and begin to sing a little lullaby. And that baby will settle down. Maybe the sheep were getting a little bit restless and David would begin to play that harp. And they begin to settle down. David was all alone and he thought, sheep are resting. He began to just play that harp and he began to sing. So what does that have to do with me? There are times in our life when maybe in the wee hours of the morning God wakes us up and we're a little bit restless. Maybe it's in the middle of the day but we feel as if we're all alone. Nobody understands what I'm trying to say, what I'm trying to do. I've been misunderstood. And you feel all alone. Maybe you're in the middle of a crowd, but you feel like you're all alone. And it's in those hours when God just reaches down with that still small voice. And He says, "You see clouds. but I see a rainbow. And He speaks peace to a troubled spirit. And He uses those lonely days in our life to remind us, number one, of who He is. To remind us of how much He loves you. How much He's concerned with what you're concerned with. And I believe God spoke to David's heart on those lonely days. You say, what does that have to do with Goliath? I believe David had all the faith in God when he stepped out in that valley. Because on those lonely days, God said, David, I've got your back. I've got your back. I know what you're going through. Trust me. Trust me. Notice this phrase, and I'm done. We know all about David and Goliath. We know all about David and the Psalms. We know all about David the king. But I believe it all began. I believe it was forged in the hillsides of Bethlehem. On those ordinary days. Those difficult days. And those lonely days. With David and his sheep. Let's stand together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, we love You. And Lord, we thank You for Your Word and the practical truths that we find therein. We thank You so much that You are preparing us because You have a purpose and a plan for our life. And Lord, we just trust You tonight. Just pray that You'd bless, that You'd guide, and that You'd direct. We'll be careful to give You the praise, the honor, and the glory for it all. In Jesus' name.